We're in Matthew 17. I think we'll go ahead and we'll read a couple of verses here this evening. So once you've found it, you please stand. Can't understand, no problem.
No, I'm doing great today.
Yeah, she's actually been getting up pretty okay. Like, it just takes a couple starts, but at least you get enough about us having to help her.
And that sounds wonderful to me. It's Matthew 17. We'll go ahead and read verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things." Now, Elias is Elijah. Just to make sure everybody's on the same page. Verse 12. "But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." You'll note there in the second half of verse number 12, Jesus is talking and saying that, you know, when Elijah first came, you know, they treated him however they wanted to. They did do him whatever they felt like doing to him. And Son of Man, you know, Jesus, he was going to be going through the exact same stuff. They were going to treat him poorly. And we'd like to bring our sermon this evening on this thought: when things go sideways. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. Ask you, Father, please, to help me to present the sermon the way you have me to. Be a help to everyone here, and that we'll all be able to get some strength and help and encouragement for the road down ahead of us. Pray, Father, for those who couldn't be here tonight, that they'll be able to join us again next time. But thank you, God, for being here with us. You promised where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you'd be in the midst. And we're looking forward to that. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So when things go sideways, you know, we all end up having those problems where not everything goes our way in life. Things start falling apart. Suddenly it just feels like we're walking from one debacle into the next. One moment everything's starting to look like it's improving, then suddenly it's two steps backward, and the people we're trying to help, they turn their backs on us. You know, things just get hard. And it has a tendency to mess with our minds, to try to warp our spirits, to get us off track. And just absolutely discourage us. We could easily sit down here right now and look around and think about all those who were here the first night that we started our Tuesday night services, and look at who's here now and who's not here. And the enemy would love for us to stay focused on that. Get us to where we just say, you know what, someone hand me a towel so I could throw it in and just call it. But as I said the other day, we heard it repeated a couple of times there during the course of our meeting about, you know, the going gets tough. You know, you got to keep giving a little bit more and giving a little bit more so you can push a little bit further ahead and a little bit further ahead and going and just striving to keep going forward and not giving up. Perseverance, having faith. When things go sideways, when everything looks like it's just going to fall apart on us, stay the course. It's not always something that you did wrong. It's not always something, you know, that is guiding you to a different direction. It's called life. And life just happens. And what we're doing is we're using this actually as a springboard to give back over there into the book of 1 Kings. And we are continuing to look at the prophet Elijah and some of the stuff that he's gone through here. That, like Jesus was talking about there in that verse, you know, things happen to him. Like I said, life happens. And that's actually our first point. Here in 1 Kings chapter 17, we find that Elijah has gone to Ahab there and he's prophesied there ain't going to be no more rain until I say so. And he leaves. God tells him to go to this particular brook here. And I have commanded the ravens that they are going to feed you there by this brook. And so Elijah goes by that brook. And sure enough, the ravens come and start bringing him food. This looks like a pretty good setup there, Eddie. I mean, he's getting food, he's got plenty of water, and he just can kick back and relax. And, oh man, I'm making it now. Except there's one little problem with that. The man prophesied there ain't going to be no more rain. So what happens? Well, verse number 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You know, no rain, no brook, no water. There's a problem here. It's not like it's gone down the toilet, but things definitely went sideways here. Life has happened. Now, Elijah hadn't done nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, Elijah had done spot on right. Go tell Ahab, no more rain. You've been a bad boy. You are leading the country astray. You've got nothing but problems here. You all need to come correct. Now, Elijah, go down here, and this is where I want you to be, over there. So Elijah goes over there. Things are looking good. The problem is for us that we have a terrible tendency to sit here and interpret God's will based on the circumstances we're going through. If things are going bad, then obviously we're not in God's will. We've got to start looking for it. Maybe we need to start trying other things. You know, the sayings, you know, we'll run up the flagpole, see who salutes. We'll throw them against the wall, see what sticks. You know, we'll try a variety of methods, a variety of ideas here to see if we can find what God's will is. And God told Elijah to go there to the brook. And when the brook dried up, then the word of God comes here in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, after the brook dried up, after there was no more water, after he was in danger of dying of dehydration, then the word of the Lord comes to him and says, okay, done here, now go over there. And we need to go through some storms sometimes. We need to go through some dry spells sometimes. We need to find ourselves in the wilderness sometimes just so we can find it. Yes, life does happen, but be like Elijah and wait on God and have your faith stretched out there. You don't grow stronger by sitting around doing nothing. You grow stronger by lifting weights, by fighting resistance. Grow stronger. Awful lot of Christians love to show up for church service, particularly only on a Sunday, so they can sit there, they can soak up what's being said, and they can sour on it because they're not bothering to grow in any strength with it. I'm here, preacher. I've done my part. Let me see. Yep. Okay. And I will see you in exactly 6 days and 23 hours. Bye. And that's it. That's not stretching your faith. That's not growing your faith. That's sitting there souring it. Elijah was sitting there waiting on God. That was God's intention for him. He had to get that widow woman ready down the road there. When she was ready, okay, the brook's dried up. All right, Elijah, go move. Life happens. Things go sideways. Don't panic. Operate in faith. Number 2, we find that listeners just sat there on Elijah. Over in chapter number 18, Elijah is confronted Ahab yet again, and he's challenged him to bring all these prophets of Baal and the groves there to square up against Elijah. And they're going to have the sacrifices. And Elijah tells these people. Let's start reading verse number 20 of 1 Kings 18. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If, sorry, I kind of wrote over the word there. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people shouted, you better believe it, Buster, this is what we're going to do. No. And the people answered him, not a word. They're sitting back there saying, I ain't religious either way. I can't sit here and say that God is God, and I can't sit here and say Baal is God. I don't care, you know, however things work. Ain't helping themselves, ain't helping Elijah, ain't helping the prophets. They're just there. And how many people do we know in our lives who are just there? They're kicked back. I ain't got a clue what to do. I'm just here. Lousy place to be. Ain't doing you no good whatsoever. And for a Christian to just be a listener who is sitting there, it is detrimental to them. Because they are not growing. They are not actually taking anything and applying it so that they can see growth. And it is detrimental to the preacher up there preaching his heart out because he looks at this and he's longing for them to grow. He's longing for them to be able to be encouraged. He's longing for them to do something other than to sit there and collect dust, and they are just sitting there. And he sits there himself thinking, where am I going wrong? What am I not doing right? Here's Elijah. He done spent the last 3+ years over in Zarah with that widow. And I imagine the whole time he's there with her and her son, he's telling her about God's faithfulness. They're sitting there, they're gladly looking in that bucket every time. They go and they scrape up enough cornmeal to make another cake and they look in. Looks like there's still enough for another one in there. Your God is pretty good there, Elijah. There's Elijah raising her son back to life after he gets sick. And then there's these people just sitting there. Elijah's got to be scratching his head. He got to be wondering what in the world's going on here. But does he quit? Does he give up? Does he say, you know what, forget you all. I'll go back there to Zarah. At least the widow woman listened to me. At least I saw some results there. No. Elijah said, things may have gone sideways in my ministry here, but I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on reaching. I'm going to keep on taking my faith and putting it into action there. And if no one responds, that's on them. I'm going to be doing exactly what I can. Because it's all I can do. It's what God's called me to do. Thirdly, not only did the listeners just sit there, not only does life just happen, but when things go sideways, we find love isn't forthcoming. Toward the end of chapter number 18, we find that Elijah sends his servant down there to Ahab. Tells Ahab, man, get up, get going back in the town there in Jezreel, because there's a sound of the abundance of rain. And all that rain suddenly coming down on the roads there that were now 3 years sun-baked would turn them into an absolute mess that the chariots would not be able to go anywhere. So he says, get going now while there's still time. And verse number 46 says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And I'm pretty sure I told you this before, but I'll say it again just to make sure in case you all weren't here or I didn't say it. But when it's talking about him running before Ahab, it doesn't simply mean that he outran. And what it means is that Ahab was riding in his chariot, and he would have men who would be in front of him, running ahead of his chariot, proclaiming, the king cometh, the king cometh, the
he coming? And that's exactly what Elijah was doing. He was showing loyalty to Ahab there. He was trying to tell Ahab, I am not your enemy. I am not the guy standing against you. I'm trying to help you, Ahab. I'm trying to bring you correct so that you can be serving the Lord God Almighty as you're supposed to, since you are indeed an Israelite. Hey, Jehovah God is supposed to be your God, not Baal. Baal, according to this other nonsense.
Well, what happens when he runs 20 miles ahead of Ahab, shouting, the king cometh, the king cometh? Chapter 19, verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he slain all the prophets with the sword, and how Elijah was the man, and that he was now going to start standing up and worshiping God Almighty. Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, you convinced me. So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Elijah's showing love to Ahab. What does Jezebel do? She ain't showing him no love. She's threatening his life. Did Ahab show him any love? No. He runs back and whines to his wife. This is what he did. He slaughtered our prophets. He may have ran in front of my chariot, but he slaughtered our prophets. He's mean. Show him no love back. But we find a lot of times in life that people who should be showing us some love because of what we've done for them, how we've bent over backwards for them, don't show us none in kind. Okay, now don't be giving anybody evil looks here or nothing like that. Remember, the altars are always open. If you've got a problem, come and bring them to the altar, even if you've got to pick that person up. But Elijah had encouraged the heart of this defeated king. He had lost his prophets. And he repays him by threatening his life. Yeah, Elijah got a little discouraged. A whole lot discouraged. Took off running. Wished to die. He was feeling suicidal. But because life does go sideways, and because we are human, we too can get discouraged. We too can get depressed. We too can get these terrible thoughts in our minds. We can too want to throw in a towel. We too can want to quit. Believe me, with my eye having been acted up for over 2 weeks now, and it just seems to be getting worse, yeah, I've had an awful lot of thoughts go through my mind here. Especially with some of the messages that were preached this past week, it seemed like God was sprinkling a little bit of warning. You know, and my mind has been playing tricks on me, like, yeah, don't be surprised if you lose that eye. Don't be surprised if you lose that job. But, you know, life is hard, son. But Elijah gives us this example. He got back to work. He had his moment. He stumbled. He fell. God helped him back up. And he got back to work. Because God didn't give up on him. Over in 1 Kings chapter number 21, verse 17 through 19, we read, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, so shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. I'm sure Elijah did not want to go down there and give him that message.
I'm sure there was a part of Elijah who still wanted to trust that Ahab could finally get things right, that he could get back on the path following after God there. I'm sure there was a part of him, because if he was going to be any sort of a man of God, that it is by definition a part of his heart that he wants to see people turn and repent and come back to the Lord God Almighty. And I think I got at least a little bit of Bible to back it up. Because when you look at down in verse number 29, back up to verse 28, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah to Tishbe, saying, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house." Ahab got the shakes. Ahab came as close to repenting as he was going to. And God showed mercy. And Elijah said, "Even though you didn't give me some love when I needed it, when I was worn out physically, when I was worn out spiritually, and when I was worn out mentally from fighting for Israel to bring the nation to the brink of revival, and you stabbed me in the back, Ahab, I still cared." Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say these words: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." When things go sideways, when things go down, when hope is gone, and it doesn't seem like there's a way out, God says, lean on Him. Trust in Him. Elijah had to do that every step of the way here. And then this is just our primary example. We're using Elijah, but you can see it time and time again throughout the course of the Bible. The key to getting through the dark times is to seek God. Nothing is happening to us that He does not know about. But it is a matter of us keeping the faith. I've got just two questions and a statement for you this evening. It's a simple sermon, I know. Sometimes simple works best. First question is this: is your faith strong enough to handle the rough patches? I can't answer it for you, only you can. And oftentimes it's the rough patches that answer it for us. Question number two: are you working daily to grow your faith more? Again, only you can answer that. And my statement is this: things may not always go our way, but faith will keep us on the right path. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, once again for being so good to us. I know it's a simple sermon, not very long or anything, but like I said, sometimes simple is the absolute best. Get that point home as quickly as possible. And I believe, Lord, that's part of the reason why You give us the ability to bring our prayer requests to You, so that we can exercise our faith just a little bit. But it's only part of the way we exercise it. Reading Your Word, listening to Your Word, witnessing to others, all ways of exercising to grow our faith. Whatever may come, Father, help us, Lord, please, to trust in You, and please help our unbelief. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You know what? Let's turn to page number 2.